Well, hello everybody. This is Reverend Karen coming at you. And you might notice a new window in if you're watching this on YouTube rather than listening to it in audio version. I've got this new thing, this new app that I've incorporated into my podcast, and it's called Fathom, and it's an artificial intelligence note-taking thing. And this is the first time I'm using it for the podcast. I've tested it on other Zoom meetings and I fell in love. The geek in me is very happy with this. So that's what that other window is if you're watching this on Zoom. And so I want to welcome you to the podcast today. We're going to talk about the four stages of spiritual growth or the four stages of consciousness. And yes, in this episode, I'm going to describe and talk about these four stages of consciousness as originally developed by Michael Bernard Beckwith, who is the founder and CEO of Agape Spiritual Center in Los Angeles. You may have heard of him. He's pretty well known. These stages of consciousness can be invaluable in discerning where you are at in your spiritual life and where you want to be. But first, I want to do the introduction. So, welcome to Fearlessly Feral Living, broadcasting to you from the back 40 of Northwestern Nevada, where I'm a half an hour away from the nearest grocery store and the nearest gas station. And our mission here at Fearlessly Feral is to provide a strong and unshakable inner foundation that works for successful long-term living. Our purpose is to activate inner self-awareness, and our vision is a world in which everyone lives wild and free. So let's dive into Michael Beckwith's four stages of consciousness or spiritual growth, shall we? I don't remember when I first heard about these. It's been so long, I just don't remember. But I remember the impact it had on me learning about these four stages. The impact was great, and it was the second of two major impacts on me, major shifts that I got that moved me out of what I call professional victim mode and into personal responsibility and empowerment. Now, the first shift happened before I found out about these four stages of spiritual growth. And I'll just tell you a little bit about that because I know you're curious. It was around 1996 or so, and I was recovering from a divorce that literally brought me to my knees with feelings of betrayal and lost faith. And I was searching for a deeper connection to and an understanding of God as one of the ways for me to recover from that loss. Notice, by the way, that I was not searching for a new Mr. Right or any other outer solution. See, when we have a loss, we don't go and replace the loss without processing the loss first. If we replace the loss, if we lose Mr. Right or lose Mr. Right then and then get a new Mr. Right now, or if we lose a job or what else? A house. If we lose something big like that, if we don't process that loss first, if we don't do our inner work, it's going to affect us on long-term, deep levels. So I was processing the loss, and I knew that in order to do so, that inner intuition was telling me I needed to go within and find a deeper connection and a better understanding of God than the one that I already had. So that's what I was doing. So I was searching. And I was reading books and I was starting to attend a center for spiritual living. And I don't remember how this book came into my life. I honestly don't. I don't know if someone gave it to me or if I found it or if it was recommended to me at the center. I'm not quite sure. What I do think of it is that this book found me. And this book was Neil Donald Walsh's Conversations with God, Book One. And in that book, I learned about a concept of God that had always resonated with me, but I was not confident enough, not secure enough to be able to voice how I felt about God and its role in my life. Because honestly, when we talk about religious and spiritual matters, the majority of people automatically go to some outside God out there, usually a he, a guy in the sky. That never ever worked for me. Now, I didn't know what worked for me, but I knew that didn't work for me. And so Neil Donald Walsh wrote about that. He wrote about a concept of God that wasn't something out there separate from me, but untouchable. But touchable and knowable. And I think I was probably ready to have a shift, honestly. I really do. I was searching, I was searching for a deeper sense of spirituality that would allow me to successfully transition from this most recent loss into something new and better. He said in this book that God wanted for me what I wanted for me. He said that God didn't really do things, but instead simply co-created with me what I wanted. This, by the way, was the concept that cemented for me that God was principle, not thing. God is a principle. It's not a guy in the sky. It's a principle. And that works for me. God is principle. And that concept that Neil Donald Walsh was presenting to me in words that I had never heard before forced me to look at my thoughts and my feelings and my beliefs and change many of them, because I was definitely in a victim consciousness, which, by the way, is stage one of the four levels of spiritual growth. Now, I lived in stage one for 32 years, guys. I didn't know any better until I got sober. At which point I began to move out of stage one, but that movement out of stage one wasn't complete until later. And it was when I read that book, Conversations with God, that I had a major shift in that victim consciousness. I was reading the book, I was sitting on my couch in my living room, and I was reading it, and I was searching, and I was, trying to figure out who I was and what I was about and what all this divorce stuff meant. And I read that part in the book that said God was principle and God wanted for me what I wanted for me, and God didn't do things. And it was a life-shattering moment. I literally went, oh my God. And I sat there and I paused in my reading and I was stunned. If there was ever a burning bush or a white light moment, that was it for me. And everything within me changed, and I got it. I heard it. I felt it. And I got that I was truly a co-creator of my life. And I felt immediately empowered. And I also felt immediately scared to death. All at the same time, I felt empowered because, yeah, when you've realized you've perpetuated a life of victimhood almost your entire life, and then you realize that you can take responsibility for yourself and no longer be a victim, that's the ultimate empowerment. But the fear came because at the same time, it meant I was going to have to learn new ways of being, of showing up in life. I was going to have to learn new ways of doing things and new ways of being. And that's always scary to contemplate that kind of stuff. It meant that I was going to have to put my story away. I was going to have to let it rest. I couldn't live in my story anymore. I had to move on from that. I had to simply let it be, practice some gratitude for it, and begin developing a new life story. And again, that's a pretty daunting task to contemplate. But I had already started the process. I had already done some of that work when I moved from a life of drinking alcoholically to a life of sobriety. And I changed some fundamental ways of being inside of myself to do that. And I knew if I had done it once, I could do it again. So there you have it. And if I've done it, you can do it too. So we move through stages of consciousness by changing our inner stuff. By changing some of our beliefs and our thoughts and our values, we make those changes inside first because everything happens within first. Sometimes those changes are big and sudden, And sometimes there are smaller ones that happen in increments. So I want to go ahead and decide and describe the four stages of consciousness. But before I do that, I want to describe what consciousness is, because it's one of those things that's kind of hard to describe. It's kind of like describing God, you know, it's difficult to do. Guys, I graduated with a master's degree in consciousness studies. And I got to tell you, when I first graduated with that degree and I had that piece of paper in my hands and I would look at it and I'd say, "What is consciousness?" And people would ask me, "What'd you graduate in? What'd you get your degree in?" And I said, "Oh, I have a master's degree in consciousness studies." And I was all proud of itself. And they'd look at me with a quizzical look and that kind of tilt their heads like a dog and go, "Well, what's that?" And for the longest time, I couldn't really answer that. And I would laugh at myself. But then I took a good look at what we studied in that program. Here's what we studied. We studied spirituality. We studied some religion. We studied science, specifically quantum physics. We studied psychology and we studied philosophy. So consciousness is all of that. It's the entirety of who and what we are. It's our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual beingness. Consciousness is how we show up in the world. And here's an example of that. You know how sometimes you might encounter someone and you instantly feel at an intuitive gut level some things about those people, whether you know them or not? I know I have. I've encountered people that I've never seen or met before, and the hair on the back of my neck stands on end. That's information, and I follow that. I've met other people that I've never met before, and I instantly felt a kinship with them, a friendship with them, a knowingness that this is someone I want to have in my life. And I pay attention to that too, and I follow that. I don't need to ask why. That's that consciousness, where our consciousness is picking up on their consciousness. And that kind of thing can only be accessed intuitively, but we can develop that intuition. And if you look up the definition of consciousness, you will get awareness of internal and external existence. Consciousness stems from our beliefs and our values and our thoughts and our emotions and our words and our actions. And our consciousness is what forms our opinions about life and the world. Here's an example. I already told you when I was drinking, I had a victim consciousness. That was straight across the board. I never moved into any of the other stages of consciousness. I was suspicious of everyone and felt like I had to protect myself from everyone. My walls were up and I had only two feelings, rage and anger. And in sobriety, a whole new range of feelings opened up to me. And as I let my walls down in sobriety, I felt like I was living with no skin for a little while. That's a change in consciousness, guys. And then after I passed sobriety for a while and life started getting pretty decent, then I had, and people were started calling me Pollyanna because everything was good. It was all good all the time. Today, I'm a little more in balance with all that. I was so grateful back then to be alive. I was so grateful to finally have a fellowship of people who were like my family that showed up for me on all the important stuff. They helped me move. They were there at Christmas. They were there at Thanksgiving. They were there for all the important dates. That was my new family. And I had never had that before in my life. So I was really grateful to be living life differently. And yeah, that's a consciousness. That's a way of being. Okay, so how do we move from stage one? And what are the other stages? Well, first of all, how we move, it takes work. You know how every podcast, if you listen to my podcast regularly, you know, I'm always advocating spiritual practices. Do your spiritual practices. That's how we move through the stages of spiritual growth. Consistent and persistent use of spiritual practices. So here's the four stages of consciousness or stages of spiritual growth or development. Stage one, as I've already mentioned, is the victim stage. Life happens to me. Stage two, life happens by me. Stage three, life happens through me. And stage four, life happens as me. So let me describe a little bit of each of those. So again, in stage one, we're victims. Things are always happening to us. We might be asking, why is God always doing this to me? I used to date a guy that asked that all the time. Oh my God, needless to say, he didn't last very long. Why is God doing this to me? He would whine, and I'm like, oh dear. Okay. Anyway, in stage one consciousness, we might be feeling separate or isolated or lonely, like no one understands us and no one gets us. We might also be very cynical and fond of such things as Murphy's Law, which says that if anything can possibly go wrong, it will. And things do go wrong when we live in stage one. You ever know somebody that it seems like there's something always going wrong? Their car's always breaking down, or they're always getting a flat tire, or there's always something happening in their life. They're living in stage one, guys. If something happens to us one time, it's possible we're not living in stage one. But if there's a pattern of it repeatedly over and over and over again, it's in that pattern that we need to look at that. We need to ask ourselves, what's my consciousness doing? What's going on here? In stage one, we're not in control of anything in our lives. We might not be even believe that we're supposed to control anything in our lives. Life is just something that happens to us, and our job is to just get through it as best as we can. Now, because I've experienced it, I can tell you that stage one is a really sucky stage. But the good thing about stage one is that we can move out of it. So in stage two, we begin to take control of our lives. Stage two is really kind of fun. When I teach beginning classes in Science of Mind, the foundational classes that teach the elementary spiritual practices and the basic concepts that we teach, and people come around and they start manifesting parking spaces and extra money, it is so much fun to watch that. This is stage two. This is stage two. Stage two has a masculine element to it where we're beginning to take control of our lives. In stage two, we get to move from being a victim to empowerment and personal responsibility. You know, when I got sober, I was living in stage one. And as I began the process of learning how to live life sober and going through those 12-step things that they talk about all the time, I began with total and complete powerlessness. Nothing in my life was working. But with that process of the 12 steps, I got to move through. And most people don't realize this, but in those steps, there's an inherent promise in the 10th step. And the promise is this: in step 10, we get our power back. That means after the process of incorporating the first 9 steps in our lives, we get our power back. Are there other ways to move from stage one to stage two? You betcha. Spiritual practices. Affirmative prayer, or what we call treatment around here. Connection with spirit 24/7. Learning about the principle of oneness. And again, when we start learning these things in the beginning, then things start to happen. We start manifesting things like parking spaces, and it's just so much fun. So that's stage two, where life is happening through me. I'm sorry, life is happening by me. In stage three, life is happening through us. See the difference there? We're going from by us to through us. It's a beautiful transition there. In this stage, this is where we begin to know and feel that we are so connected with spirit that we become a channel for its work in the world. We become a channel. This is where spirit is working through us. This stage, unlike stage two, which is kind of masculine, this stage is more feminine because we become a vessel. We're open and we can be filled up with the love of the universe. We begin to have faith and to really believe that life is for us and always conspiring for our best and highest good. This stage moves beyond the fun, happy parts of stage two and goes into joy, which I think is a little deeper than happiness. This is the stage where we are teachable, where we begin to experience the beauty of being spiritually vulnerable. Because when we're spiritually vulnerable, we're able to let in all that sunlight of the spirit. In stage three, things happen through us and we make them welcome. And we're open to whatever happens because we know it's all good all the time. So that's stage three. And then stage four, there is no separation between us and life, no separation between us and God, no separation between us and spirit. There's actually no separation between us and anything or anyone. That has a little bit of a drawback that I'll talk about in a minute, but it's doable and we can cope with it. This is the stage where we get to say, I am. I am. This is the stage where we are one with that one thing that is everywhere present. This is where our masculine and feminine aspects merge into one beautiful and glorious consciousness that simply knows. This is where we access that intuition that I spoke of earlier. Here we might have a peak experience, a sudden shift in our consciousness. Here we move from living a physical life to living a mystical life. This is where our intuition guides us in this stage, where we get messages that say, go here. And we do that, even if it makes no sense on paper. I've been using that intuition to guide and direct my decision-making process for many, many years. And I can tell you it has never steered me wrong. And no, it more frequently than not makes absolutely no sense on paper. Talk to an accountant about what I'm contemplating. And they're like, no, you can't do that. Talk to a scientist about what I'm thinking of doing. They're like, no, you can't do that. But I answer to a different power. This is the stage where I do that. Living in stage four is where we get to live fearlessly feral. Now, the drawback to stage four, because there's no separation between us and anything else in the world, we begin to experience all of the consciousness that the rest of the world is experiencing and putting out there. I'll never forget when this started to happen for me. I was living on a horse ranch, somewhat isolated, not totally off grid, but my routine was to wake up in the morning. I was putting myself through grad school by cleaning horse stalls. There were 30 stalls, so I had to do that every single day. So I was living on this ranch. I'd get up in the morning. I wouldn't log in. I wouldn't do anything. I'd get up and go and start cleaning stalls. I'd never have any contact with the outside world until I was done. And some mornings I would wake up and I would feel this angst, this anxiety, this horrible, like, what is wrong thing. And then later on, when I came back in and would check into the rest of the world, I would discover that somewhere in the world, a major catastrophe had happened. That's what comes from having stage four. We're connected. And so if you're connected and you're feeling all these angst and people are calling you an empath, yeah, that's what's going on there. But I can tell you that learning that aspect of living in stage four has taught me to be more diligent than ever about my spiritual practices. Because I can acknowledge that, yeah, there's some real, honest to goodness, nasty stuff going on in the world right now. And my responsibility is to sit down and do my spiritual practices so that I can handle things better. I can handle them with grace and dignity. I can know and have clarity on what is mine to do, and then I can go out into the world and do it. without experiencing any anger or rage or feelings of betrayal or all that stuff. Actually, I do experience those things, but I don't act on them. I do my spiritual practices and I get back to center. I get back to stage four and then I go about my life. So the other thing to remember about these stages is that we move in and out of them on a pretty regular basis. In fact, we can move in and out of them several times on a given day. You know, we might have a stage moment here and there and move from stage one to stage four willy-nilly, just like that. But if we have awareness of these stages and we have some tools under our belt to deal with stuff that happens and when we're in stage one, or when something happens that knocks us into stage one, then we can cope with this. And this is what makes life so beautiful and rich and full. Today, I tend to hang out in steps three and four, or stages three and four. I have periodic visits to stage two and rare visits from stage one. See what I did there with the language? To stage two and from stage one. And when I do get a visit from stage one, you can bet that I'm settling in to do some serious introspection to discover what's going on inside of me and take care of it. And I get myself out of that stage as soon as I can. So those are the stages of spiritual growth. I hope you got some value out of this episode. And if you did, I hope you will consider supporting the podcast. And I do thank you for listening and for your support, knowing that any support you provide comes back to you multiplied. And I am knowing fearlessly feral living for me and for you. Fearlessly Feral Living is a focused ministry of Centers for Spiritual Living. And you can support us in a number of different ways. You can support the podcast on Buzzsprout or through PayPal. And you can find all this information on our website at fearlesslyferal.org. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it.